ever be able to see angels?
Absolutely. You can see them right now. Just open your eyes and look around. Everyone in your life is an angel. I have sent you nothing but angels. They have come into your life to play their right and perfect parts. Some of them show up in one way, some in another, but all are there for your soul's purpose. Yet you do not even have to leave your house to see an angel. You can see an angel by looking in the mirror. Yes, you are an angel. Are you able to accept that? I invite you to seriously consider this. What would it be like if you thought that you were the angel someone else is waiting for today? I can tell you what it would be like. You would change everyone whose life you touch. They would truly have been touched by an angel.
How can I do this? What would I have to do?
It is not about doing anything in particular. It is about being. When you move into your angel self, you are being, not doing.
What am I being?
You are being whatever you imagine an angel to be. Perhaps you are being loving. Perhaps you are being compassionate and patient and kind. Perhaps you are being generous and helpful and caring and sensitive and understanding and forgiving and protecting and encouraging and guiding. And perhaps you are being willing.
Willing?
Yes, willing.
Willing for what? Willing to do what?
Willing to do whatever those states of being bring up for you to do. Willing to allow whatever you are doing to bubble up, to spring forth from those ways of being. Willing not to think about it, not to consider the pros and cons, not to worry about the balance sheet, not to weigh what you're going to get out of it. Willing to just do what will come naturally to do when you are being those things, moment to moment. The present moment will tell you what to do when you are a human being. You won't have to think about it. Remember this about the present moment. It is, in fact, just that, the pre-sent moment. It was sent to you in advance by your soul to allow you to express and experience who you really are and who you now choose to be. The present moment is also the present moment. It is the moment when a present is given and received. What gift will you give to another and to yourself in this present moment? That is the only question to ask today. Yet do not think about the answer. Be the answer. Remember this always. Angels never think.
Will I ever be able to see angelic angels and not just earth angels? I mean, like the angels in heaven?
You have no doubt seen many of them already.
I have?
Yes. They would have appeared to you as ordinary human beings. They've moved in and out of your life, bringing you just what you needed, just when you've needed it. You have also no doubt encountered them in your dreams, which is where your soul goes to rest between days of carrying around the body. They've appeared to you in many forms while you are in this state.
Will I see them when I go to heaven?
At the moment that you leave your body, they will be all around you, showering you with love. It is their energy that will be the first energy that you feel as you move through your transition.
What will that feel like?
It will feel warm, soft, welcoming, and safe. Safety will be the main feeling, total safety and absolute love.
I can't wait.
You don't have to wait. The good news is that you never have to wait, not for the love of angels, and not for the love and presence of God. You can feel this anytime you wish.
Why is it that I can die for my country at 18, but I can't enjoy a cold beer on a hot day?
Older adults often feel that their offspring belong to them and are to do as they say. Society in general reflects this "we own your body" point of view. Therefore, society believes it has a right to tell its offspring what to do. Your society feels it has a perfect right to send you into a war that you may not even agree with, but to keep you out of a bar with which you do. Your society has even passed laws forcing you to do one while prohibiting you from doing the other, or face penalties and possible imprisonment. This is a reflection of the primitiveness of your society. No enlightened society would presume, under color of law, to have the right to order your body around in such a manner, regardless of the will of your own person. Not too long ago, societies felt they had the same right regarding females. In some countries, they still do. Societies in these countries dictate what women can and cannot do, where they can and cannot work, who they can and cannot marry, what they can and cannot wear, right down to the color of the cloth, what they can and cannot learn, where they can and cannot go, and at what hours of the day or night they may or may not venture there. Some of these repressive societies even deform the bodies of females, forcing them to have portions of their genitalia removed, the portions that bring females pleasure during intercourse, because for a female to experience pleasure during intercourse is considered inappropriate. Yes, your human societies have created laws that are not only unfair, but cross the borders of sanity.
Why? Why do we pass such laws?
This question was asked earlier, and I did not answer it head on. It is because humans live in fear and guilt. Fear and guilt are the only enemies of man.
When you live in fear and guilt, you are forced to seek total control of your environment and of everyone in it. Power and control are what become important. Other people expressing their free will are seen to varying degrees in varying countries as threats to the common good. The common good is, of course, defined by those in power.
What could people in those countries you talked about possibly fear from women that would make them pass such cruel laws?
Self-discovery, self-realization, self-awareness. If women are allowed to experience who they really are, the men in those countries will no longer be able to control them. Why do you think it took so long, even in your so-called advanced and enlightened countries, to grant women the simple right to vote? It is about control. Always, it is about control. And always, this control masquerades as something that is needed, something that is for the good of the people. Yet freedom is the only thing that is desired by the human soul, for that is what the human soul is and what it always seeks to express. Anything less than the granting of total freedom is not for the good of the people, but for the good of those in power.
You're right. I feel that adults are always trying to control us. What's all this about? Why all these power trips?
Most of the human race has not yet learned how to use power. Most of the people do not understand the concept of power with, but only of power over. Remember this always. The purpose of power is not to control, but to create. When power is used to control, it creates nothing. That is why individuals who are control freaks have a very hard time making things happen, and governments that control accomplish even less. Control is the enemy of creation. Controlled creation is an oxymoron. The totally creative person is often said to be totally out of control, and it is true. That person is, and that person couldn't create anything if he or she were not. True freedom is true power. That is the state of being in which God resides. It is the state of being in which humans reside as well, but they do not know it. We have now come full circle in this conversation. With these last two questions, we have explored what we discussed at the beginning. You are all born with original power. This is simply another term for God. When you reclaim original power, you reclaim God. You reclaim your divinity. Divinity exercises power with, not over, the universe. That last statement, that one single sentence, clears up the most basic misunderstanding humans have about God. Original power is what is. This power forms and supports every law of the universe, including the law of creation. It is the law of life and the law of God. All of the prophets have told you this. Today's modern-day prophets say it in their own way, yet the new way they say it does not change the law, but simply clarifies it. Here is the law. Ultimate power is ultimate freedom, and ultimate freedom is ultimate power. Sharing power does not diminish power, it increases it. Do not think I have come to abolish the law and prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now you know. I have not come here to exercise power over you, but to exercise power with you. There is a world of difference, and you will live in a different world. when you understand this.
One last question about God. If you made us, then who made you?
That is a wonderful question, because it focuses on one of the great mysteries of the universe.
Nobody made me. I am life itself. I am that which is, that which was, and that which always will be. There was never a time that I was not. You are the same thing. You always were, are now, and always will be. That is because you and I are one. What I am, you are. What you are, I am. We are the same thing. We are life expressing. We are that which is, being. I am the sum total of all of it, and you are the part of it now, expressing itself as you. Yet we are not separate from each other in any way. When you stop expressing yourself as you, that is, when you do the thing that you call die, you will continue to live and express yourself as a part of me. You cannot not do this, for you are a part of who I am, and there is no part of me that can ever end. And so your life will go on forever. You may keep your present identity after you leave your body for as long as you wish, and you will do so for as long as it serves you. When it no longer serves you to know yourself by this identity, you will meld into the oneness and be the part of me that has no individual identity at all. This melding into the oneness is what some humans have termed nirvana. It is the extinction of desire and individual consciousness.
That doesn't sound good to me. Won't I always want to have desires and individual consciousness?
When you are one with everything, you will have no desires because you are that from which all desires spring. In a sense, desire is not desirable, nor even possible, for you already are that which you would desire. Thus, desire as a yearning is eliminated from your experience. So is want and need. You've become both the wanter and the wanted, the needer and the needed. In this state of total unity, you want and need nothing. This is pure bliss. It is the highest heaven. There, you are in harmony with and become part of the primal vibration, the sound of Om, the call of life. Stimulated by this vibration, you will begin to differentiate once again. You will begin to separate from the all, becoming a specific and individual part of the whole.
Why? Why can't I stay with the all? Why can't I remain in the bliss?
The ongoing process of unification and differentiation is the basic process of life itself. It is occurring everywhere in the universe, at multi-levels and dimensions. The basic process does not require you to abandon bliss. Indeed, it is bliss itself. You may experience this bliss at any point or time in the process, simply by remembering who you are and what is going on.
How can I do that?
In many ways. Meditation, prayer, making love, smelling a flower, creating music, kissing a baby, drawing a picture, baking a pie, fixing the plumbing, doing anything, anything with joy. Living your life to the fullest, walking the three-way path. Have fun, spread joy, share love.
I got it, thanks. Can you help me understand this process a little more? I don't understand completely this oneness thing. And then, what did you call it? Differentiation?
Yes. That's when a part of something becomes different and no longer looks like the rest of what it is a part of. It's like when you get out of your band uniform. You're still a member of the band, but now you look different. You look more like the individual you than the collective you that you called the band. Think of this non-differentiated part of life as the largest part of all that is. Think of it as the non-individualized pool of energy from which everything that is individual emerges. This pool is what many humans call God. It is that from which everything flows. It is that from which everything is created in its differentiated form. It is the stem cell of the universe.
What's a stem cell?
Listen to me. Your own body contains the blueprint of the universe. Your body chemistry holds the secret to the mechanisms of all life. You've been carrying around the greatest secret of life in your own body and looking for it everywhere else. At the basis of everything in your body is what your medical biologists call stem cells. These cells have two godlike qualities. First, they are immortal. Second, they are shapeshifters.
What?
It's true. Most living cells divide a finite number of times and then perish. Stem cells, on the other hand, can be cultured to divide indefinitely. In other words, under the right conditions, they can replicate themselves forever. They can also turn into any other cell type there is. In other words, under the right conditions, they can turn themselves into anything.
Are you kidding me?
No. Humans have known about stem cells since the late 1800s. They knew then that these cells were, as your dictionaries put it, unspecialized cells that give rise to differentiated cells. Still, it took your species more than 100 years to discover how to isolate these cells and stimulate them to take the specific form needed to produce specific parts of your body. It is now possible for your medical science to produce from pure stem cells everything from bones to heart muscle to brain tissue. And you are learning about other mysteries as well. You are learning about cloning and genetic engineering. And you are decoding the genome, analyzing the DNA of human beings and other organisms. Soon, you will be able to identify the chromosomal location of every human gene and to determine each gene's precise chemical structure in order to understand its function in health and disease. You are about to unlock the secret of eternal life.
Whoa!
Yes, once again, whoa. This conversation has included a lot of woes, and this is the biggest one. We are talking here about the basic process of life itself. What you call God is the undifferentiated, pure cell of all of life. It is to the universe what the stem cell is to your body. The secret of God is the mechanism inside your own body. It is the mechanism of all of life. From the beginning of time, mystics have said that when you understand yourself, you will understand God. This was meant physically as well as spiritually. You are about to discover this.
Oh my God!
Exactly! That is exactly right! I could not have put it into better words myself. Oh my God! Is exactly right. Science and spirituality are coming together now, joining paths as inevitably they must. This is a time of excitement the likes of which your parents and your parents' parents never dreamed. Now you understand more than ever why you came to this conversation. And not only why you came to this conversation, but why you came to your body on this planet at this particular moment. Never before in the long life of the human species, never has any moment been so ripe with possibilities, so filled with challenges, so ready for clear and exciting vision. You and the other young people all around you will be living the largest part of your lives in this cosmic moment. The older people among you are approaching it, but you will be moving through it. You will be facing the moral and spiritual implications of all that I have just revealed. You will be deciding what all of this means. Do you think that you came to this time and place by accident? I tell you, you did not. This is the most extraordinary time in human history, and you came here to share the excitement and to create it.
Chapter 19, A Final Question.
Okay, one last question. If you could change one thing about today's society, what would it be?
I would change your beliefs about who you are.
And who I am, and how life is. I would cause you to notice that you and I are one, that you are likewise one with everything and everyone else, and that life is eternal, with no beginning and no end. These simple ideas would alter the course of your experience forever and change your whole world.
Why don't you do that, then? Why don't you cause us to notice this? Why don't you change this one thing about our society?
I do not do anything on my own. If I did, I would be breaking the law of free will. I would be directly interfering in your life.
You would be violating the prime directive.
Precisely.
So this one thing will never be changed?
There is only one way that this can occur, and that is through you. I cannot do it to you. I can only do it through you. This is because who you are is me, God, expressed as life in, as, and through you. That is what I have come here to tell you. That is what you have brought yourself here to be told. You and everyone else who listens to this.
How then can I change the world?
So far, all the best efforts of your governments and your social systems, and even your religions, have not been able to change the most basic human behaviors. And so after all this time, things are still pretty much the way they always have been among human beings. Squabbling, fighting, killing, and inability to openly share or openly love.
Why?
Because all humans do is keep trying to change the conditions of life on your planet, rather than the beliefs that have created those conditions. Humans keep trying to eliminate the condition of poverty, the condition of hunger, the condition of misery, the condition of oppression, the condition of prejudice and lack of equal opportunity, the condition of violence, the condition of war. They keep trying to make these conditions go away. They try religious persuasion. They try legislative mandate. They try royal decree. They try benevolent dictatorship. They try totalitarian government. They try popular uprising. They try everything they can think of, and still they cannot make these conditions go away. With all humanity's supposed advancement, with all its fancy technology, with all of its newly created abundance and wealth, and with all its increased awareness, humans have not been able to eliminate the most basic problems of poverty, hunger, misery, oppression, prejudice, and lack of equal opportunity, violence, and war. And they cannot, because these conditions are reflections of beliefs that have not changed. If you want your world to change, you have to work to change the world's beliefs. Behaviors and conditions can only be changed temporarily. You may work on that now if you wish to provide temporary relief, but if you want long-term relief, you must work on helping people change their beliefs. Remember this always. Beliefs create behaviors, and behaviors create conditions. This is true in your individual life as well as in the collective reality that you are creating planet-wide.
How can we change beliefs? How can we do that?
First, you have to be aware of what beliefs you are trying to change. Most people do not know what it is that they do believe. They have not thought about it deeply. They are too busy living. They are too busy trying to solve the problems created by their beliefs to look into the matter of what beliefs are creating them.
What are the beliefs we need to change?
The human race believes in neediness. It believes not only that there are things that it needs, it believes that it has insufficient means to meet those needs. It believes in disunity. It believes in failure. It believes in superiority. It believes most of all in the conditionality of love. It believes that love is conditional, that my love is conditional, and that all love is conditional, and that therefore there are requirements that must be met in order to receive the benefits of love, and judgments that must be made about who has and who has not met those requirements, and condemnations that must be meted out to those who have failed. Because it deeply believes in such a system of separateness, scarcity, failure, judgment, condemnation, and superiority, it allows itself to behave in accordance with those beliefs, and thus to create all of its own miseries. Finally, the human race believes that it is not possible to disavow its basic beliefs, or to recreate them, because it does not and cannot know how. The human race believes in ignorance. These are the 10 illusions of humans, and they are a very big part of earthly reality. Still, you can change this.
So how do we do it?
The first thing you must do is really understand the problem, which you are doing here, and then look at solutions. The solutions are to change your most basic beliefs and to assist others in changing theirs.
Okay, but I want to make sure before I hear about solutions that we do have the power to produce them. I don't want to be led down the garden path here. I mean, we can do this, right? Even though no one's done it before?
No one's had it explained to them before with this kind of clarity. More and more people are seeing clearly now that the problems confronting the human race are real and could destroy their species and its home. And more people are hearing with greater clarity how they can help in doing something about it. That's what makes this a very important time. That's why this material fell into your hands when it did. Yes, you have the power to recreate your reality on Earth in a new way. Absolutely. That's where your power to create, your original power, comes in. But here may be the first belief you have to change. You may have to change the belief that you do not have this power.
Because, and now we're back to where we were before, what we believe, we experience.
Exactly. And some things are harder to believe than others, so those things are harder to experience.
Like what?
Well, it's easier to imagine that you're going to find a parking space right where you want it than it is to imagine that disunity or separation does not exist, or that condemnation does not exist, or that ignorance does not exist. So, many people are willing to try to produce what you would call smaller results by using original power, but they do not use that power to create what you would call larger results, because they do not believe they can. In the same way, some people can experience small negative life encounters as gifts. They call them blessings in disguise. While they experience other, larger negative life encounters as struggles and dramas, they call them misfortunes or tragedies. They believe they can transform the smaller ones, but they don't believe they can transform the larger. Masters are people who believe that they can use original power, or what some people call the power of God, or the power of prayer, to create anything. And so, they produce what you would term miracles.
So, if I believe that my life doesn't have to be the way it is, and that the whole world, for that matter, can be changed, then it can be.
Yes. That is how the changes that have been made have come about. Somebody, somewhere, believed that it could happen. And it did. Usually because that particular person helped make it happen. That's why I said earlier, do not give up hope. Do not ever stop trying to change your life or change the world. All of you have come here to this material, to this moment, to begin the next part of your journey. It is a journey to hopefulness. A journey to wholeness. It is the journey home. This is about waking up, getting what's going on. This is about living your life in a new way with intention and purpose and clarity. And more fun than you ever thought possible. Remember the three-way path. Have fun, spread joy, share love. You are going to have a wonderful chance to do that in the years ahead. Are you ready? Good. Start now. Start now. Today. At home. Tomorrow. At school. Start now. This is all it will take. That's why it can be said with such certainty that none of this is too big for you. None of this is too much. Fun. Joy. And love is who you are. It is the natural you. Just give in to that. Have fun doing whatever you're doing in school. Yes, even going to school. Just have fun with it. See it for what it is, a stepping stone on the path to the greatest life you could ever hope to live. Have fun with everything. It is possible. Just take the drama out of it. Take the stress out of it. It's all good. Spread joy around you. You can do that with something as simple as a smile, a laugh, a word of encouragement to a fellow traveler, a favor for a friend, a helping hand for a parent. Share love with everyone in the form that your soul tells you is the most appropriate to the moment and to the kind of relationship that you have with each person and with yourself. Go now and create your world as you would have it be. Go now and celebrate your life and everything that makes you, you. Go now, and recreate yourself anew in the next grandest version of the greatest vision you ever had about who you are. This is my invitation. This is your dream. This is our next grand adventure.
A closing word. Hi, this is Neil one more time with just a brief closing word. I said at the beginning of this audiobook that you have caused it to come into your hands, and so you have. You did so to empower yourself to hear, perhaps more clearly than ever before, truths that you have known forever in your heart, and that can change the world. The events that occurred in the United States on September 11, 2001, have made it desperately obvious that our world must be changed, or soon there may be no world to change at all. Yet despite the horrible events of that terrible day, I come here to tell you in this closing message that this can be a more loving, peaceful world. Yours can be a more joyful experience. Ours can be a more fruitful life. Millions of people around the globe, shocked at what happened on that September day, are now more motivated than ever to alter the way we live our lives on this planet. Yet, how can that be done? I believe I know of at least one very good way. Look to see, now, what it is you wish to experience in your own life and in the world, and then see if there is any way for you to be the source of that. A central teaching of Conversations with God is, what you wish to experience, provide for another. So, if you wish to experience greater peace, love, and understanding, seek to provide greater peace, love, and understanding to all those whose lives you touch. If you wish to know that you are safe, cause another to know that he or she is safe. If you wish to better understand seemingly incomprehensible things, help others to better understand. If you wish to heal your own sadness or anger, seek to heal the sadness or anger of another. Earlier in this conversation, I recall a young person asking, "Why do I always have to be the one to start?" I am reminded here of the wonderful soul-searching inquiry of the Jewish tradition. If not now, when? If not me, who? It is you, our young people, who can bring us the change that can lead us away from the kind of insanities displayed on September 11, 2001. You can set the course for tomorrow, today. There is much we can all do, but there is one thing we cannot do. We cannot continue to co-create our lives together on this planet as we have in the past. You already know this. Most young people do. You've been telling the world this for years, in everything from protests to poems to songs. Some of you are angry because you have not been heard, and right now, at this critical turning point in humanity's history, anger may not be inappropriate. It may, in fact, be a blessing. If you use your anger to pinpoint not where the blame falls, but where the cause lies, you can lead the way to healing. To me, the cause seems obvious. It's been discussed throughout this conversation. We are living in a world that operates on deep misunderstandings about life and how it is. Most humans have not learned the most basic lessons. Most humans have not remembered the most basic truths. Most have not understood the most basic spiritual wisdom. In short, most humans have not been listening to God, and because they have not, they watch themselves do ungodly things. The message of Conversations with God is simple. We are all one. This is the message that the human race has largely ignored. Our separation mentality has underscored all of our human creations. And because our religions, our political structures, our economic systems, our educational institutions, and our whole approach to life has been based on the idea that we are separate from each other, we have inflicted all manner of injury upon each other. This injury has caused other injury, for like begets like, and negativity only breeds negativity. Now the problem has reached planet-threatening proportions, and we should make no mistake about that. The human race has the power to annihilate itself. We can end life as we know it on this planet in one afternoon. This is the first time in human history that we are able to say this. Before, we could destroy a village or a city or even a nation, but never the entire world in one day. Now we can. And so, I am asking all young people everywhere to focus your attention on the questions that such power places before you. I hope that you will answer them from a spiritual perspective, not a political perspective, and not an economic perspective from which they have been answered in the past. I hope that you will have your own conversation with God, for only the grandest wisdom and the grandest truth can address the greatest problems. And we are now facing the greatest problems and the greatest challenges in the history of our species. If you want what beauty there is in this world, and there is so much of it, to be experienced by your children and your children's children, I believe that you will have to become spiritual activists right here, right now. You must choose to be at cause in the matter. That is the challenge that is placed before every thinking person today, young and old alike. But it is the young people who have the verve and the vigor and the energy and the real motivation to meet this challenge. For the world of tomorrow will be the world that you experience and the world that you will create. I am asking you, please, please, don't recreate the world as you see it today. Please, be no more cynical about life, if ever you were. Please, be no longer disinterested in life, if ever you were. Please, let not one more day pass without your active involvement, right now, right where you are, in your homes, in your schools, in your communities, and in your world, in the movement to bring greater unity, understanding, harmony, and love to the human experience. Become activists in helping others to change, at last, the age-old beliefs that have created the cruel, selfish, unkind, and inhuman behaviors you see all around you. Become one of the changers, no longer content with simply talking about what's not working, but choosing now to join in creating what will work. Recreation, our nonprofit foundation, is forming an international alliance of young people making this choice. If you wish to connect with others around the globe who are joining together in activities and programs that could be world-altering, or are interested in bringing a local chapter to your community, please contact us today at The Changers, in care of the Recreation Foundation. PMB number 1150, 1257 Siskiyou Boulevard. That's spelled Siskiyou Boulevard. Ashland, Oregon, 97520. Telephone 541-201-0019. On the World Wide Web at thechangers.com. Email address, thechangers@cwg.cc. Now let me say goodbye to you, my young friends. I hope the conversation here has served you well and will bring you to a greater willingness to live from your inner wisdom and your inner truth every day of your life. The world of tomorrow is yours. Created as the best world there ever was, I send you love. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Conversations with God for Teens by Neil Donald Walsh. This program was produced and directed by Bob Walter. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Text, copyright 2001 by Neil Donald Walsh. Production, copyright 2002, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.